Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch. And the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated General Grabber ATX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Thanks for listening to the Best Of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday. What a crazy Saturday and Sunday. A remarkable weekend of college and pro football. It's the Herd wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Sean Payton will join us last hour. Trent Dilfer this hour. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. Lot of wrong in 1 hour from now. J-Mac had a great weekend. He liked both the Packers and the Denver Broncos. Last night, I mean, we all know that social media, J-Mac, can be a little negative.
A little bit.
I mean, yesterday, the world was ending, and I'm like, do we think Kansas City and Buffalo stink? Like, do we wake up this morning? Like, if you're all beat up and injured and you go on the road, it is hard to win. This is not college football.
Pat Mahomes loses. Josh Allen loses. Tom Brady goes down.
Justin Herbert looks awful.
I mean, the Chargers, by the way, are the most injured team in the league at this point. They are really beat
so
up.
I want to start with this. So I'm watching the Niners-Denver. It was ugly. I'm sorry, not every game can be a fireworks show. But I took a lot of positive out of it. So the headline in Denver today is Russell Wilson has one clutch drive and they narrowly escape. So let's just think about this. So Russell takes his act to Denver, all new team, all new everything. Nathaniel Hackett brings the Green Bay Aaron Rodgers offense to Denver. Now, we don't know if Hackett can coach. I'm concerned about some of his choices. But Russell Wilson, we saw it in game one, plays the good soldier. I'm going to be the Hall of Famer. I got the big contract. I'm going to be the good soldier. I'm going to be the good guy. And he kind of defers to him in week one. It did not work. But then in the fourth quarter, you watch it and you're like, Russell said, okay, I'm just going to go and use my superpower. I'm going to move around a lot. And he did, and it was a great drive. And the Niners defense, second only in my opinion to the Buffalo Bills in talent, were flummoxed. Because that's what Russell Wilson did before he came to Denver. He runs around. He makes things happen. He's great off script. He picks up yards. And he does need to move and improvise and scramble. That is his superpower. It'd be like Lamar Jackson saying, I'm never going to leave the pocket, or Justin Herbert saying, I'm never going to throw a deep ball. But remember, it took Aaron a year to learn this offense. And we don't think Hackett's as good as Matt LaFleur. Do you remember Aaron Rodgers' first year with this offense? Do you know what he completed? 62% of his throws. Passer rating mid-90s. Touchdowns, only 26. That's Aaron Rodgers in a bad division with a bunch of layup wins. It took Aaron Rodgers a year. Russell doesn't get it. Russell was changing operations, changing staff, changing teams, new city, new conference. And here comes Nathaniel Hackett. We don't know if he's a good teacher or not. We know he's a nice guy. And I think that's part of the problem. Nathaniel Hackett, Aaron Rodgers is like, oh, made me laugh. My darts buddy, great guy. And Russell Wilson wants to be a great guy. And last night in the fourth quarter, Russell Wilson said, yeah, enough with that. It's my offense. I'm taking it over. And did what he does. And that's what it should be. But I think it's harder than people think. Two new camps converge. They're both trying to make nice first impressions. Russell doesn't want, he got the big money. He doesn't want to be domineering and bulldoze everybody. And Hackett's a little over his head. And he's a little deferential, but it's his offense and it worked with Aaron. And then Russell's thinking, well, I can show that I can be Aaron. I can sit in the pocket. Aaron wasn't great with his offense first year in a bad division. And so here's the good news for Denver. The Chargers are a mess. The Raiders are messier. Kansas City lost. And if you look at the schedule right now this morning, you're not going to face a defense that looks anything like the 49ers for the next 2 months. It's Las Vegas a couple of times. It's Carolina. It's Tennessee. It's the Jets. It's Jacksonville. That's the best defense you'll face. But I do think it's not as easy as just, hey, let's just Russell run your thing. I think Russell's sitting here struggling with how much of the offense do I use? How much of his offense do I defer to? But in the end, they're a 2-1 football team with a softer part of their schedule coming up. And Russell Wilson was optimistic afterwards. I know it was ugly. I know it was inartistic. But it's a win over probably the second best defensive personnel in the NFL. Here's Russ after.
Really, in the fourth quarter, I had to kind of, you know, use my legs and kind of take over and just try to move around and find some first downs. We're still all learning each other. There's a whole new system and everything else. Everybody's coming together, but there's so much greatness in store, and I can't wait for it.
I know. It's just too optimistic for you, but, you know, they always say you can lose games, you can't lose locker rooms. You don't lose a locker room with Russell Wilson. Yes, he's a little too optimistic. The glass is always half full. But right now, they're 2-1. Would you rather be Denver at 2-1 and choppy offensively, or the Chargers right now? Or the Raiders right now? I wouldn't. Take a deep breath. I'll defend Garoppolo after the break. So we know Buffalo's really good. I still contend this morning, I think Buffalo's the best team in the league. But there is a trend now. You can be a great company, and there can be a little bit of a disturbing trend. So what I'm about to tell you now covers more than a year. Since the start of last season, the Bills are now 0-6 in close games. Only the Texans are that bad. What? Isn't that weird, right? It would be almost like a fighter who has a bunch of first and second round knockouts, but anytime the fight goes 10 rounds, they can't win. Sounds like Tyson, which is what we compare Buffalo to. And it's really interesting about this. Buffalo's the better team than Miami. Baltimore was the better team than Miami, but Miami deserves credit for figuring out ways to win. But, I mean, Buffalo dominated time of possession. They had up three times as many plays. They had over double the first downs. Buffalo's the better team than Miami. They are the better team. Buffalo had major cluster injuries in the secondary. Half their defensive line was gone. It's Miami. It's hot. When you play any team in Miami in September, you're facing the team and you're facing the conditions. But here's the thing that worries me. 6 years in with Buffalo and their excellent defensive coach, 6 years, they still haven't developed a run game. Sean McDermott developed a defensive line that's great, linebackers great, secondary that's great. He has leaned into and solved his side of the ball. And here's why it worries me. 6 years in, they still rely heavily on Josh Allen to pick up yards running the ball. Sort of like another defensive coach, Ron Rivera, did with Cam. And often Mike Tomlin did with Big Ben, defensive coaches. Let those huge quarterbacks pick up yards, kind of run things. It doesn't last. It's why Cam fell over a cliff at 32, like literally aged overnight. It's why Ben aged overnight. And Josh Allen, this cannot last. You got 90 snaps. He attempts 68 passes and 8 rush attempts. It feels very much defensive coaches. By the way, Chicago defensive coach can't get the offense right. Chargers defensive coach, Chargers offense can't get right. Steelers defensive coach can't get the offense right. Bills defensive coach, 6 years in, can't develop a running game. I've been on this now. I know ad nauseum for years, and it's exhausting. But this is not going to last. I've seen it with Cam, and I've seen it with Big Ben. And I think Josh has some of the talents of both. He's a power runner like Cam. And he'll run guys over. And he's got the arm, the deep ball, like Big Ben. There's a lot of qualities here that they share. It doesn't last. And to these defensive coaches who love physicality and they love toughness, do you get the sensibility of protect your quarterback? I mean, 63 pass attempts, 8 carries for a northern team in that kind of sauna water with a roster that has major deficiencies due to injuries all over the defense. Sean McDermott after.
You know, you should win those games. We just didn't take care of the ball enough and come away with some takeaways. So, but again, I like the way we fought in all three phases till the end, and we've got to learn from it.
I thought Josh Allen was exhausted and a little sloppy at the end. Of course he is. Because they rely so heavily on him for the offense. And by the way, I'm not saying Kansas City always has a great run game, but I never feel like with Kansas City it's all on Mahomes. I feel like there are Andy Reid's play design. They can at times run the ball effectively. Mahomes is the centerpiece of it, but I don't feel they just completely rely on Mahomes. I'm starting to feel this is Carolina. With a defensive coach, where if Cam plays well, they win. If Cam doesn't, they lose. They sometimes play downhill like Carolina did with Cam, and they end up in a Super Bowl. But the consistency in close games with Cam, the inability sometimes to create offense outside of Cam. I mean, go to the last couple of years with Pittsburgh. They had no run game, bad offensive line. It was Big Ben trying to save the day offensively with another coordinator that doesn't work in Pittsburgh. So I can love what Buffalo's all about and think they're the best team in the league, but this is a trend now. Only the Houston Texans, since the start of last year, are as bad as Buffalo in close games. So that's not just random osmosis, coincidence. When you can't develop a consistent running game outside of Josh Allen, it's hard when you have a game and you want to ice it, and you go to the ground, and Tom turns to Leonard Fournette, and he eats 3.5 minutes off the clock, and you lead by 8, and that's how the game ends. That is such a benefit for an Aaron Jones with Aaron Rodgers or a Leonard Fournette with a Tom Brady. That run game that ices games so you don't have to get into a shootout every week. Because Buffalo's great knocking out people in the first round, but some of these fights, they go 10 rounds. And you got to win those fights, too, to be the champ.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet 5. That's it, $5 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. So after I made my blazing five pick to take Tampa to beat Green Bay in a close game, Mike Evans announced he wasn't going to play. And then right before the game, Julio Jones announced he wasn't going to play. So Tampa Bay was missing their top three wide receivers, all of them great, and their left tackle, Donovan Smith, and came within one play of going to overtime. Oh, they're also using backups all over the offensive line interior. If you're Green Bay, in the last two, I've seen Green Bay play one healthy, good team this year, and they got crushed. They beat low-wattage Chicago that can't complete passes, and no team in the league. Tampa's quarterback's going through a marriage crisis. Their top three weapons are out in a weapons league. Their left tackle, Donovan Smith, is out, and boy, is that obvious they need him. And that came down to one play. Green Bay has got to be concerned. How in the hell did Tampa Bay have more first downs, more passing first downs, better on fourth, more passing yards? How is that possible? Green Bay has been reduced to winning one way, beating injury-riddled teams or teams that can't score. And in Tampa's case, they're both. They've got no juice. They got none of their best players. I mean, if you take Aaron Jones out of the Packers yesterday, and you take, let's say, Alan Lazard out of the Packers yesterday, and Tampa was healthy, would that game be close? I have watched the media fawn over this organization for the last 2 years. I still contend. Do we know if Matt LaFleur is a great coach? He's beaten the Bears and the Lions. I don't know if he's a great coach. He's barely above 500 against the Vikings. He can't beat the Niners. Yesterday is the first time they beat Brady, and it was an almost. So, and here's the other thing. Green Bay has scored 3 points in the second half combined last two games. So if it's not on script, Aaron doesn't trust young receivers to ad-lib and make stuff up. It's obvious. If you have Aaron Rodgers, and in two back-to-back games, you've had 3 points, one field goal, you got yourself a problem here. So in game one, Aaron ghosted the rookie receivers. In game two afterwards, he said, I'm not going to change. And did you see what happened yesterday? His team fumbled in the first half. After that, Aaron eye-rolled it, got disappointed. 8 drives, 7 punts, most of them 4 plays. That was it. 92 passing yards. After a teammate fumbled, Aaron rolled his eyes. The Fox cameras catch it. Aaron's disappointed with a teammate. Somebody let me down. I'm a victim. Woe is me. And they just stopped playing offense. So, I mean, I looked at this thing. This team needs patience. This team needs a mentor. because they've got two really good young receivers. You better have a relationship with them. You better like curry favor with those young receivers. Generationally, they probably listen to different music. They have different interests. They like different tech. They get up and do different things. You better figure out a way to make it work, because Green Bay can't score off the script this year. Scripted plays, they'll score, they'll take a lead or keep it close. Minnesota, what did they do in the second half? Chicago, second half. Tampa, second half. It's because Aaron's not willing to ad lib. In the second half, you got to go off script. You got to make stuff happen. That's when a leader's a leader. Russell Wilson last night goes off script. I got to win the game. That's what you got to do late in games. Tom Brady yesterday, they got nothing to work with. Everybody's out. When did he have his best drive? Last drive of the game. That's what Brady does. So this team, what they need at quarterback isn't just talent. They need a mentor. They need patience. Now, here's what will happen to Green Bay. Go look at their schedule. It's awful. New England without Mac Jones. Giants, Jets, Washington's a mess. So they're going to roll to a 6-1 start, and all the media guys are going to fall in love with Aaron Rodgers again. This team's got major problems. I do not think they're a top 10 team in this league. They have played one healthy team and got boxed. They can't do anything in the second half. They've been reduced to a run. They can win one way. Low scoring. They can beat teams that can't move the ball. Chicago and Tampa with injuries. That's what they can beat. By the way, in the second case, barely. So that to me was a really concerning win. I'm not sure if these are fixable, because I'm not sure Aaron is going to become benevolent, altruistic, great teammate, mentor Aaron. I'm not sure that's in his bag of tricks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I like Garoppolo more than everybody, but I know what he is. He's a B-plus quarterback. So Brady, Burrow, and Stafford, can we all admit they're really good? All of them had bad game ones. They didn't practice for different reasons. Tom took 11 days off for family. Stafford had elbow concerns or elbow pain. Joe Burrow literally had appendectomy surgery, a major surgery. And those are great quarterbacks. Stafford, Burrow, Brady. Game one, no practice, no preseason. They were bad. Now consider Jimmy Garoppolo. They wouldn't give him a playbook because they wanted to see if Trey Lance developed. He took no snaps. Didn't play in the preseason. Didn't start week one. Didn't start last week. This was his first start of the year. Trent Williams, the best left tackle in football, got hurt. Didn't have their number one running back. And Kittle had to stand and block most of the game. And you're shocked against that defense, a top five or six defense, Garoppolo struggled? So you give Brady, Burrow, and Stafford a break, and you don't give Garoppolo one. No playbook. They wouldn't give it to him. No practice. Coming off a shoulder surgery to his throwing side. And that's his opening game against Randy Gregory, Bradley Chubb, two of the best young corner in the game, and Patrick Surtain. Altitude, mile-high, desperate Denver. And he led with a couple of minutes to go in the fourth. And you're blaming that on Jimmy G. George Kittle had to stand and block most of the night because of the pressure. Trent Williams got hurt, so then they really got to keep Kittle in. He didn't have his number one back. The guy wasn't given a playbook. This was the first week in 9 months he was allowed to take all the snaps all week in practice. Remember, he didn't start last week. Trey Lance got hurt. He didn't start last week, so he didn't take the snaps. So this was the first week in 9 months, 10 months, whenever it is, that he got all the snaps with the first team. And he has to face Randy Gregory, Bradley Chubb, that defense, those corners, in that altitude, in a desperate Denver team, and you're like, oh, he was terrible. I'm not making excuses, but it's hard to quarterback in this league, especially when you're coming off shoulder surgery. You don't get a playbook. You don't practice, you don't play in the preseason, and you don't start the first 2 weeks. First assignment, go 7,000 feet in the air and play Denver with that pass rush. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. San Francisco's really good. They're going to win a bunch of games. There's a difference between a reason and excuses. Of course he wasn't great. Burrow's more talented. Brady's more talented. Stafford's more talented. And they look bad in week one without practice. They didn't have shoulder surgery. They had the playbook. Yeah, of course last night was choppy. Jimmy G after.
It was kind of my first week with these guys, and I just got to get in a rhythm with them, especially like third down. I mean, we were terrible today, and I just got to get on the same page with those guys, and we got to convert those. Yeah, my arm's feeling it right now. it's different. You try to do all the practicing and preparation you can on the sideline, being the number two, and then when you get tossed into it, you just, I didn't go through OTAs and training camp, and I'm not trying to make excuses or anything, but I just got to get in game shape and get rolling now.
Yeah, the guy's not in shape. The one thing that was very obvious was third down. Well, what a shock. Randy Gregory pinning his ears back on a third and eight, Bradley Chubb right behind him, DJ Jones on the middle. They're bringing the house, and Jimmy wasn't very good on third down. I got news for you. A lot of quarterbacks going to face that defense, and if it's third and eight, they're going to be bad on third down, and they're more talented sometimes than Jimmy Garoppolo. So, like, take a deep breath. That was a brutal opening exam from the school teacher. That's not a game. I mean, I thought they would win because I just don't know what's going on with Denver's offense. And until Russell started to run at the end, I still don't know what's going on with Denver's offense. But take a deep breath. Burrow, Brady, Stafford all struggled in a similar situation. And it was worse for Garoppolo because they wouldn't even give him the playbook.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Where Colin was right.
Everybody loved the Chargers this year. Everybody. And I said, I'm taking them for third place. I have serious doubts. I think their coach is on the wrong side of the ball. I don't trust them in big spots. They've got a handful of great players, but you got to win close in that division. Field goals, special teams. And here they are. Left tackles out for the year. Boat race yesterday. The media fell in love with them. I live in L.A. No people in the organization like them. I still don't trust them.
Where Colin was wrong.
My first losing week, 2-3 in blazing five. My underdogs always do me well, but I went with a couple of favorites on the Niners and Bucks. They did me wrong, 2-3. I'm still 9-6 on the year.
Where Colin was right.
I spent the offseason basically as the agent for Doug Peterson. I'm like, would somebody hire him? I thought USC should hire him. I called USC and said, would you look at Doug Peterson? And no, not Allen Robinson, Doug Peterson. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are number two in the NFL in point differential. The Jacksonville Jaguars lead the AFC South. And if you look at that division, offensively, the Colts are struggling. Offensively, the Titans are struggling. Offensively, the Texans are struggling. It looks like to me, Doug Peterson and the Jags, J-Mac was right, have a real shot to win that division.
Where Colin was wrong.
Allen Robinson has made no impact for the Rams. 7 catches, 3 games, dropped a touchdown at the goal line. And a lot of people were saying he was overpaid when he came and he was washed. But my takeaway was, when they traded for him, he was like, what, 28, 29 years old? He's always been highly productive, and a lot of his issues with the Bears, I didn't blame him. I blamed, Trubisky. But he has made no impact, and you know they want him to because Van Jefferson's out. OBJ's no longer around. They're dying for him to be a 9-catch-a-game guy. He has made no impact at all with the Rams.
Where Colin was right.
I said to all the critics of Jalen Hurts, he's productive. Stop nitpicking. He's got an incredible work ethic. Right now, he has the 5th highest passer rating in the NFL. A lot of times, first impressions are powerful. And, he got replaced in college by Tua, and he came in inaccurate and small. But I'll say this for him. That guy has made giant leaps pre-snap, throwing the deep ball. He looks totally in control of the offense. I'm getting over 300 yards passing. He's making some tight window throws. He comes out on script is excellent. He's excellent off script in the second half. This kid is a gamer.
Where Colin was wrong.
I had Oklahoma as the number 2 team in the country, and after rolling 3 cupcakes, they could not stop Kansas State, a Kansas State team that got beat by Tulane. Kansas State had almost 300 yards rushing. And everybody told me that Brent Venables, he was going to make Oklahoma tougher. Maybe it was just tougher to watch. That was as bad a defensive performance. I know. That soft West Coast guy, Lincoln Riley, left. We finally got one of ours. I don't know. I thought defensively, couldn't make stops in critical situations, couldn't make stops in the red zone. Not good.
Where Colin was right.
Mac Jones, I said, first of all, he's not talented enough to overcome Matt Patricia calling plays. Right now, he has 2 touchdown passes and 5 picks. Last for starting quarterbacks in the league. 6 giveaways total. Last for quarterbacks in the league. His passer rating is in the mid-70s, 76. 31st in the NFL. Quarterbacks need help. especially limited quarterbacks, and now he's hurt. That'll do him no favors as he's trying to get snaps and figure out this offense. If he misses 4, 6, 8 weeks, then where do you go with these Joe Judge, Matt Patricia play callers, which just seem outdated and out of touch?
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I said about 3 months ago, the Bears have to trade linebacker Roquan Smith and get a receiver or get an offensive tackle. Well, actually, yesterday he had 16 tackles, a key interception to set up the winning field goal for the Bears. Yes, he is their best player. And yes, I think they need so much help offensively. I mean, Justin Fields is completing, 7, 8 throws a week? I mean, I don't think you can win in the NFL like that, but Roquan Smith is so dominant. If you didn't know this defense, if you didn't know anything about football, you'd be like, who's the guy that's making all the tackles and making all the plays? He has been invaluable for the Bears so far.
Where Colin was wrong.
I have been pro Steve Sarkisian for years, but that was an ugly loss to Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech has players. It's not a terrible program, but you got to win games like this. You can't go toe-to-toe with Alabama and then lose games like this. And, you know, these close games, you've got better athletes. Your staff is making a lot more than Texas Tech. You should have better coaches. You just can't lose this game. Now, in defense, they're using a backup quarterback. Quinn Ewers comes back here in a couple of weeks. It's not ideal. But you know, when you're watching Texas defensively, they just look sloppy. Too many openings. They almost surrendered 500 yards to Texas Tech.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
College football fans are more emotional than NFL fans, usually because NFL fans are in a bigger city. They've got an NBA team, an NFL team, a baseball team, you know, and there's always a different season. When you live in Norman, Oklahoma or Auburn, Alabama, if your football team's bad, it ruins your year, right? So I get the fanaticism that follows. But maybe the dumbest thing I've ever heard a fan base say is, you know, Lincoln Riley, we're glad he's out of here. I mean, the guy went to 3 playoffs and lost all 3. Yeah, he lost to LSU and, you know, Georgia and Bama. You know, maybe you've heard of them. The LSU team, maybe you've heard. Go look at who he lost to. They won 11 games each year. Lincoln Riley has literally gone to Los Angeles. Come to Los Angeles. The Trojans were 4-8. Their fans had bailed on them. They had no culture, no momentum, and a roster. Half the guys have moved on. He literally has gone to the transfer portal and created a culture, momentum, and chemistry with guys that didn't live in the city 5 months ago, that didn't know where USC was. And they have absolute culture. It's very Rams feeling. They won a game this weekend in which they didn't play particularly well on the road. Caleb Williams had his worst game as a college player, yet he was great in the last drive. So what he's done, can you imagine building a company and 45% of it are brand new, and you're expected to compete at a high level your first day on the job? It's really remarkable. Meanwhile, Oklahoma inherited sold-out crowds, momentum, a winning culture, lots of money, fans piling in. Yes, he had to replace his quarterback. It's Oklahoma. They got NFL players everywhere, even in their down years, and they're the first to lose. So, listen, you don't have to. I understand fans getting upset when a coach leaves. But outside of Alabama, can you imagine the criticism of any college coach being, he only wins 11 games a year and he loses in the playoff? Outside of Alabama, you kind of are considered great. Maybe Ryan Day, if he loses in the playoffs, I guess maybe he falls at, what, is there 2 programs in the country? It's you're out of your mind. By the way, 75% of coordinators who are hired fail. And whereas Bob Stoops got a job at 39, people spotted his talent very early. Lincoln Riley got a head job at 33. People spotted his talent very early. Brett Venables didn't get a head job until 50. He wasn't jumping off the page for anybody. 75% of guys, even when they inherit great programs, do not work. I don't know what's going to happen in Oklahoma. They passed the eye test. They got great players everywhere. But be real careful about not being satisfied with 11 wins a year, one of the most creative offenses in the country, and getting to the playoff annually. I mean, outside of maybe Bama, that's great for the other 130 programs in the country.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's bring in Sean Payton, the coach of the year, a Super Bowl champ, 9 years, 15 playoffs. We've been bringing him on Mondays. It's been an absolute joy for us. So I was watching the game last night, and I'd be the first to admit, the game is so offensive now. Most games are up in the 20s.
Sure.
But I found so much value in it. Like, let's start with the Niners. My takeaway was, this was the first week in 8 months that Garoppolo got every snap at practice. I think San Francisco's going to be fine.
Yeah, I do too. That's who I would pick right now, I think, after three games.
To win the NFC?
To win the NFC West.
Okay.
And look, there were a handful of those games this past weekend. I feel like there's been two or three where you're watching and you're saying, well, they're missing a lot of their weapons. They're hurt.
Yeah.
And even with Green Bay, I mean, he misses Adams.
Oh, there's no question. They miss each other.
Yes, no, both of them. Yeah. You know, and it's one of those things where you don't realize, you know, how good things. That was the best 1-2 punch quarterback receiver tandem
in the league.
In the league for the last 3 years. And there was a gap between 1 and 2.
Right.
And all of a sudden, that was broken up.
This is an interesting thing. And I said this, there are all wins feel good. But there are losses that you can live with. Buffalo, you had the ball 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then there are wins that I'd get on that flight home and I'd look at my staff and go, we got a little issue. Green Bay, three games, can't score in the second half. My takeaway is Aaron loses trust really quickly with these young guys, and if they drop a pass or there's a fumble, after that fumble, next seven of the next eight drives, three plays, punt. Is that this offense with these kids needs patience?
Well, look, if you're there and you're Aaron or you're coaching there, it just means, hey, there's nothing better than a win and we have work to do. If you're the head coach.
Right.
We won, but clearly we can put the tape on. We have work to do. As opposed to, we did everything right and I've got to really worry about this team being overconfident going into next week's game. So we won, and it's a real good win. Like, because I didn't see that win for them. I saw Tampa Bay's defense being a tough matchup. And quite honestly, I thought Green Bay did a good job in the first two or three series. They moved the ball, and what was amazing is they gave you the yards per pass, and then the yards after the catch, the yak was like 170 yards. In other words, all the passes were going to the flats or intermediate areas of the field, but they were advancing the ball with run after the catch. But when you come after, when you follow up a game like that and you're able to go back and say, hey, in order for us to get where we want to go, we have a lot more work to do. And I think there are a number of teams like that right now that you're kind of looking at and saying, we remember last year a little bit with some of these teams, and there's been some shuffling of skill players, injuries, whatnot.
Well, yeah, Sean, look at this. People aren't playing in the preseason. A lot of soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
Buffalo's beat up.
Yep.
I mean, I honestly think this is that most of the players that are hurt will return, but you no longer hit. And so
I mean,
that's what it looks like to me.
You're exactly right. And look, the data, they can play with that however they want to. But we're seeing more of that in
not season-ending stuff.
No, just like Julio Jones. You know, I think I'm just going to say he's questionable the rest of the year. The last three seasons, he's been questionable every week. So I don't need to see that on the ticker anymore.
Yeah. So let's go to let's go back to San Francisco, Denver. So you are a very strong-willed person. And you and Breeze formed over the last 7-8 years like a real bond, you may never have a bond like that with a quarterback the rest of your life.
Sure.
And he certainly won't.
Sure.
But it takes time. Your first year, you're trying to figure out what can he do, what can he, and you're strong-willed, and he's like, man, this coach has got a point of view, and Drew is. And so Hackett's known as a nice guy, and Russell wants to be a good soldier, and they come together, and Russell doesn't, he kind of is, all right, we'll do some of your stuff. And then the coach is like, well, he's a star. He just made $300 million. And I felt like until the last drive, they were feeling each other out. And Russell finally last night said, I'm just going to go do my thing. I'm just going to run around like I did for 10 years. Because I feel like this is harder than people think. That first six games together with a new guy.
Yeah, and when you take a player who's been with one organization 12 years or 13 years, and at the quarterback position, so he's probably had a couple offenses, you know, a few offensive coordinators, they've made changes, whether or not they change the verbiage or terminology, who knows. But then when he arrives somewhere else and it's a new team, new ownership, they bring in a new head coach. I mean, everything there is new. And so the only stability you'd say would be Peyton, the GM. You know, that's in place.
Yeah.
And man, getting up to speed and on the same page and putting – I remember this, and this was unique. When we got to New Orleans, Breeze was still a Charger. Mm-hmm. We were at the Combine. It was February. We had the second pick of the draft. So a lot of our focus was on the quarterbacks. How can we find a quarterback? We knew we were in that market. And, we were looking at Josh McCown. We were looking at a number of veterans, and – we got word that the Chargers had released Drew. He had the shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
And the hardest part was it was such an unusual injury. There was no history. There wasn't one example of a quarterback who had a fully torn rotator and that came back and played. All right. We made the decision to bring Drew on board, and it just so happened – months prior to that, I had hired the Chargers quality control coach, Pete Carmichael, who's now the offensive coordinator. Pete had insight as to this is what we called certain things. And so immediately when we signed Breeze, because we're all gathering, putting the offense together, this is our first
year. Denver's doing.
We began to put together terms he knew, systems he knew, things that were familiar to him, just to bridge that gap, just to make it a little bit smoother.
Sure.
And so I don't know how much Hackett and Russell had talked in the offseason relative to cadence, huddle. This is how we call formations. But I think it's not a bad idea, especially when you're getting a veteran player like Russell Wilson. I was always a little leery of this acquisition.
How come?
Well, I think, going into year 13, I think it was more the compensation. I think it's a lot for a player going into his 13th year. I think it's a lot of compensation.
Huh.
But, you know, we're selling a dream.
That's a good point.
And we're selling a team. And so it's a more attractive team with a franchise quarterback on it than it was.
Going to get more money from that ownership group.
Yeah. It's certainly more attractive when that's in place.
Sure. No, that's really important. And I think it's great to go back with Breeze because I think there's some limitations to here. If Russell doesn't run, he's not the same player. Like, it's like Kyler Murray now has decided I don't want to run. Well, you're not the same quarterback.
Yeah, those off-schedule plays, Russell especially, gosh, the thing that he would give you fits with is, you know, flush the pocket, and a normal quarterback would gain 3 yards. He'd gain 8. It'd be 2nd and 3. Or it's that scramble, that crazy pull-up, and that ball that traveled 60 yards in the air. He did that better than anyone.
Yeah.
And then with Kyler, obviously, he's a little different that way. I mean, you know, but Russell became good enough to beat you in the pocket as well. And I think you mentioned a player earlier. I felt like in the last 14 days, we've seen this quarterback at Philly, Jalen Hurts.
What do you make of
it? I would agree 100% with what you said. I liked him. I thought he was a good player. But we've seen him come into his zone, his coming out party, if you will. And people talk about confidence. It comes only, and it's only born from demonstrated ability. And in the last 2 weeks, we've seen his step, like, leaps and bounds become thrown into the discussion of one of the top players or someone who's potentially an MVP of our league, and you would have never thought about that 2 years ago.
By the way, the front office deserves credit. Howie Roseman took some big swings.
No question. I was in New York as a coordinator, and we had played the Eagles well for years, and they had a young quarterback, Donovan McNabb,
sure,
who had struggled beating the Giants. And on a Monday night in New York, he finally, in a two-minute drill, took his team back against us and won the game. And I would say, I always remember saying that was a growth moment that night for him. And I feel like the last two games that we've seen Jalen play, particularly two weeks ago, the yeah. Minnesota game, where it was like, holy cow. It was so impressive, and we all looked at it and said, "This it's happening right now." So when someone says, "Hey, when did he become?" It's happening right now in front of our eyes,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
So yesterday with the Raiders, and I think they have some roster issues. They have some really really nice high end pieces. Darren Waller's a terrific
sure.
player.
Sure,
I think Colton Miller's a good left tackle. Hunter Renfro. Obviously, Devontae Adams, but he's brand new. I like Derek Carr more than most. And they have some edge rushers. Max Crosby's terrific. But the roster, I think, has some holes in it. But yesterday after a loss, the owner meets. They have a long meeting with the owner and the coach, Josh McDaniels. What am I supposed to read into that?
Well, it is what it is. You know, when the boss wants to see you, it probably means there's some problems. I think this, the first thing I think about, because I interviewed with the owner's father, Al Davis,
yeah.
on two different occasions. Thank God he doesn't have to meet with Al Davis, because Al knew everything about defensive football. He knew fronts, he knew coverages, he knew offensive packages. He was the one owner in this league that could interview you on personnel. Like he was a coach at one point, a general manager, a commissioner of a league, and then owner of a team. And so it wasn't just how's your family, what do you believe in relative to your philosophy in the offseason. It was much more in depth. He'd wanted to draw front and coverage, put it up on the grease board, and then just talk football. So that meeting for Josh, those are never fun. All right. Regardless of what industry you're in, you know, it's
boss
it's,
calls.
Yeah. Well, it's the meeting where your mom says, wait till your dad gets home. It's the same meeting. You sit in your room and you just dread the door closing. But it would have been a lot more difficult meeting. And I, with all respect to Mark, and Mark's a tremendous guy and someone that I know, look, they were just in the playoffs. And he had to make a tough decision, by the way. You know, Mark, there was a sentiment to keep the status quo with the job Rich had done and, you know, replacing John Gruden during the year.
Yeah.
And so that's a tough decision. And you make that decision and you kind of clean house a little bit, general sure. manager, head coach, and no one wants to be sitting there 0-3. So Dad came home last night.
So Eric Bieniemy and Mahomes had a moment. Bieniemy's known. He was a player. He was a great player in college, and he's an intense guy, intimidating, and he'll howl a little bit. You know, he can be loud. That's his reputation. He's intense. And Mahomes, he's got a strong point of view. When you see this, should I be concerned?
No, look, they're 2-1. They've got this level of expectation. They believe they should win every game. Was that coming off the end of the half?
Like, yes, yes.
And was it a situation where
Mahomes wanted to go for it, and Bieniemy was like, let's just get to the locker room.
But I think Mahomes probably was looking at, why aren't we throwing one Hail Mary to the end zone?
Yeah.
Like, in other words,
yeah.
And quite honestly, it's a good question.
Right.
You know, like there's times where if you can't get it to the end zone, all right, you know, let's take the knee. That kind of stuff happens. Believe it or not, a lot more happens than you think, and we only capture
okay.
a little bit of it.
So, Sean, that's what I said with the Ken Dorsey reaction. I said, folks, we didn't have cameras in there 10 years ago. I've sat next to coaching upstairs twice, three times in my life, and heard the screaming during the game. So when Ken Dorsey becomes unraveled, my takeaway is you're just getting access to it now.
The Ken Dorsey clip is fabulous, because I look at that and the first thing that comes to my mind is the hours someone puts in. Right. We talked about it. That's part of the job. All right. And so when all of that goes into a game plan and you're close and maybe it's a red zone play and a guy doesn't do the right thing or doesn't run the right route and it's fabulous. Nothing gets broken. There's no tablet. Maybe the computer.
Brady's out there breaking tablets.
Yeah, he's breaking tablets. But no, this is that's authentic at least. And yeah,
it happens.
Here's the thing, though. The funny thing is that the camera's there now, and there's only going to be more cameras. They don't ask. They say this is our enhancement this year to our media policy, and so. I can recall when they asked me to put a camera in our booth in a game in 2011. I'd fractured my leg on a play that came into the sidelines, and I said, "Sure, you know, put the camera in there, but just let's not, you know, overdo it." And they caught a glimpse of me eating a hot dog at halftime because we were up 50 points against the Colts. But the worst part about it is they threw it in the fourth quarter and acted like I was doing it live. Like that's how. And so. Look, the cameras are in the locker room. They're now in the press box, and pretty soon, you know, you're going to have guests on the sidelines. You're going to turn and look, and there's going to be a sponsor there. That was good, though. I got a kick out of watching that because that was actual frustration.
And by the way, he's not hurting anybody. He's among other coaches. I always say this to the media: if you want access.
Yeah.
Then get over your feelings because these your careers. Yeah,
100%.
So we can't ask for access as the media and then be offended by how you act.
Right. I thought I didn't think a whole lot, honestly, of Mahomes and Bieniemy and Andy. That I'm sure it was something that, hey, now, more frustrating is that they just lost to the Colts.
So let me ask you, yeah, I want to go to the Buffalo-Miami game. And this is where I've said I have my concerns with defensive coaches. I'm not saying they're not great. But there's a certain understanding from an offensive coach about the psychology and the emotion of playing a quarterback and the pressure. And so Ron Rivera had Cam, Mike had Big Ben, Mike Tomlin, and now McDermott has Josh Allen. You can't play like this, Bert. Those guys at 33 looked done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, Sean, you've had 6 years to develop a run game. You can't keep asking Josh Allen to be your run game. I've seen this. It's called Cam and Ben.
Yeah.
And I do, and I don't, and I think Sean's a terrific coach.
Yeah.
But Sean, I have a concern. It's like I've seen these defensive coaches use these quarterbacks as battering rams. It's wonderful for 7 years. I don't think Buffalo can keep playing like this for the next 4 years.
Well, it's a long season, and that's the difference between our game and college. I mean, we're 17 regular season games, and so, yeah, the speed of which the game's played and how physical it's played.
No Citadel on that schedule.
Yeah, that's right. I think this, they're still, look, week three took place, a great win for Miami, great win for Mike McDaniel and their program to start off 3-0. And every time you clip to the locker room or the comments, you see a team that's believing.
Yes.
And you see a guy that's done a fantastic job in a very short period of time. One of the things I always said this, and I knew this when I first got hired in New Orleans, you need a few things to go right for you. You know, each year there's 7, 8, 9 coaches that get hired. And picture 9 penguins jumping into the frozen Atlantic, and only 2 are going to come up on an iceberg, and the other 7 are going to drown. And that's the same. You have 3 to 4 years to, and so sometimes some good fortune's needed, but success early helps a lot because it helps with credibility,
buy-in
from the players, but also from ownership and front office. And we started off 3-0 my first year. You know, we won our first 2 road games. We had that return to the dome and beat Atlanta. And I don't know how good our team was, but they believed they were good.
Right. Well, the Miami thing's interesting too because the comp was Breeze. That's unfair. But do you see some Breeze in terms of Drew, I felt always had a great self-awareness. This is what I'm not. This is what I am.
Yeah.
And you had a self-awareness on what he was and what he wasn't.
Well, he's a tremendous foot athlete. The one thing about Drew, and I think oftentimes we're all guilty of this one thing, because they're not 6'4 or 6'3, they must not be as good an athlete. Drew was a tremendous in his athlete. I mean, a tremendous tennis player. Anything he did, he could vertically jump up and dunk a basketball. You know, And so I don't see the comparisons with he and Tua. Drew was a classic pocket passer and arguably the most accurate passer our league's ever seen.
I think that's absolutely true. He is the most accurate.
Every study you could look at efficiency, completion percentage, every study would tell you that. But you're seeing a guy in Tua who's gained confidence, and those two speedsters outside, you know, the new Clayton and Duper, I said it a week ago.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
They are
different. I mean, unbelievable, right? I just worry about like them outrunning your pass. That would be my biggest fear. Can I get it to them?
Right. No, but it is true. I just like McDaniel. I like offensive coaches historically have made me smarter, and that's not a knock on defensive guys. But if you never existed or Andy Reid or Bill Walsh, I wouldn't be as smart a football fan. They teach me things. And I like McDaniel's taking some of that San Francisco, and he's probably got about 25% of him in it, where he's like, you know, this part of Kyle, I want to do my own thing. Who was your mentor?
Yeah, well, two really. Offensively speaking, Gruden had a lot to do with the direction I went. I worked with him in Philadelphia. Ray Rhodes was our head coach. And John, man, early on, when you come from college and you get into the NFL, you realize there's so much that you don't know. And so I went through that for 2 years with him. And then, you know, law school for me, outside of the scheme per se, the overall picture was certainly Bill Parcells. I mean, just understanding the training room, the weight room, the makeup of your coaching staff, the roster. Bill was great with personnel. He was fabulous with personnel.
Especially the middle and bottom of the roster.
Oh, my gosh. He was always and so I was lucky enough to be around some of those really talented people, and then some of it rubs off, and then you kind of build what you want to do.
What did Parcells – give me a Parcells where he taught you about something, personnel-wise, where you're like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Shoulders, hips, size.
Every position, all right? Corners, he didn't want high-cut corners.
What's that mean?
Well, we don't want long inseams. We don't want leggy corners. We want low-cut corners. Okay. So he liked the corner that was 6 foot, but that was mostly torso, short legs, because they transition better.
Sounds like a tailor.
And, right? Well, he if a corner was leggy, it didn't mean he couldn't play. He just prefer corners that were 5'11", 5'11 and a half or taller. If they weren't prototype, the prototype would be defined by position. Corners would be 5'11 and a half, let's say 200 pounds. If they weren't prototype, let's say this was a really good short corner, he didn't want to hear if they were really good. He'd simply say, does he walk on water or not? If he walks on water, we'll put the film on and evaluate him. But if he doesn't, I don't want a team built like that.
He always said, built one of Bill's lines. I've used it in my life. You start making exceptions, you got a team full of exceptions.
100%. But he drafted Aaron Glenn High, who was an undersized corner at the Jets, but he would tell you he walked on water at A&M. That's how good of a player he was. And so you could move him in a direction for a non-prototype player, but it had to be great film. Like it wasn't just good film, it had to be fantastic. But he had that size, speed, makeup for each position. Running backs came in all shapes of sizes.
Yeah.
They could be smaller, they had to have big butts, strong lower bodies, etc.
Let me just go back to games now. So tonight, it's Giants-Cowboys, and you've got Cooper Rush. And my theory on backups have always been this. If your starter misses two games, can he win one?
Yeah.
You know, once they get film on him, that's why he's a backup.
Yeah.
I can't – if we go to four – like Teddy Bridgewater was rare.
Yeah.
Like you go on a five –
we won five in a row with them.
That's unheard of.
Right.
So there is a gap between Dak and Cooper Rush. Jerry Jones said something this week where he was kind of like last week. He said, you know, what a great controversy to have if Cooper's as good. As a coach, you could laugh. Does that create any distress in the room?
I don't know. I think one of the challenges is, well, he's got a weekly show, and so he's got to say something. So pretty soon, you know that. I don't know how you do it. You're on 3 hours a day, every day. You know, content is important, and topics are important, and guests, and I don't know that he has any of that. And so when someone throws out the idea about, well, they won the game, I think they're going to play well while Dak's gone, because I think defensively that alone can keep you in it. And you know what? You do have to bow up. The rest of the team has to bow up a little bit.
Sure.
And it can sometimes, something like that can create a sense of urgency within the building that can be helpful. And I think they're playing a team tonight, for instance, that they can get that win on the road.
Yeah.
And they could very easily lose that game as well. I mean, it's that tight of a game when you really look at it, because New York's got some confidence. I think Dallas wins tonight, despite the fact they're playing with their backup and not their starter. Yesterday, I said, I think they're going to win the next couple. I think they play Washington the week after.
Yeah.
And then they run into a tougher game. All right, is Dak back, you know, in week four or not after his injury? But that's the job of the backup. Like, otherwise, you know, we don't have to carry a backup. If we're not going to win when the backup's in, then
right.
Then and so every team has got to be prepared for that. And look, San Francisco, I know they're glad that they have Garoppolo on the roster. And we're going to see more of this. I think we're going to see a few teams that are going to be teetering between starters. You know, Cleveland continues to win. They're 2-1. So that,
right.
When I say continues to win, they really should be 3-0. If not, you know, for a really a bad mistake at the end of a game by that team. But they continue to do that. Let's just say they're at, you know, 8 wins with 2 losses. Does Brissett stay in? Or do you put the new guy in when Watson's back? These are some decisions that are going to take place.
When did you decide with Bridgewater? Because he was 5-0.
Listen, it was looking pretty good. And we, you know, Drew was far enough along, comfortable enough in his own skin. I said, hey, some of this stuff's look pretty good now. Don't mess it up.
But it's true. You're like, hey, the truth is, Drew, I'd rather you have 6 more days getting healthy, right? By the way, Drew came back off that and had an energy.
It happens to all of us. That game that I missed and was in the press box, I injured my knee. A play had rolled up on my leg. I had surgery. So I missed the week. I was in the hospital, got back. Pete Carmichael, you call the plays. I'll be in the press box. It was going to be a long rehab, and it was the one game I stayed in the press box. We scored 60 points, and right away we all realized this whole train moves without us. It moves just fine without us.
Wow.
Every one of us, players, coaches, all of us, and including what you do and what all of us do here. And so, man, I was getting healthy.
That's funny. That is great. So, one more question, and I was, you know, I've tried to stay out of the Brady stuff, he and Giselle, that's personal stuff, it's none of my business, but Tom's had a little, pretty publicized, you know, it's marriage, it's hard, right? We all know this.
Sure.
I'm married, I'm divorced, I'm married, and I was thinking about this, because I knew you were going to be on today. When you have players, Eric Mangini told me this one time, he says, you have no idea. He said, I had 2 crises per week. These are 23-year-old men.
Yeah.
Many come from no money. Now they've got a ton. They've got 13 people that want tickets. And I think we just don't understand sometimes that it's a lot. You're dealing with no other industry in the world has 24-year-old millionaires. So that creates a psychological and emotional effect. So when Brady's going through this, do you approach? Do you give him space? What did you do with a coach if players, not if, when players had personal strife or crises in their life?
Everyone was different. And look, it was your locker room. It was also your coaching staff. And Eric's right. I mean, you're going to have death with family members. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have births of child. There's going to be a lot of different things when you deal with a group of 120. If you just take the team, the practice squad, the coaching staff, and then, I think the most important thing is you're consistent. You try to help them. You know, ownership for me that whole time was fan. Anytime we had a funeral or something, Mrs. Benson did a great job. Her plane was available. We'd go fly and be a part of the process. I think all of that is just how we did business, and I think it. I think when I say it, it's something that I think is very much appreciated by.
Oh, I totally think it every, is.
It's a big deal.
I've had conversations with players like off the air, and I'll ask them questions like and all of them say I felt like I was treated like a human. Like some kids, like I grew up in the South.
Yeah.
I end up in Seattle. I know nobody.
Right.
I've never had to get my own apartment. My parents can't afford. And it's like, do we understand how? No. I know a lot of American kids are, but you're thrust into fame, money, moving, apartment. If you're a single guy, no girlfriend, you're trying to make the team and you've got some lease manager calling you.
Right.
It's a lot.
Right. How do we help bridge that gap? And these guys are independent. They have a lot on their plate, but to your point, they're human beings, and to think that at any one point all 53 on the roster are all healthy, everything's going on great at home, and it's a ginormous family with a ton of intricacies, problems, all sorts of emotions. And so you spend a lot of time during the course of any work week, maybe spending a little bit of extra time with a certain player. Is there anything I can do to help out? I think that is something that is part of it. It's part of being the head coach, managing that.
And how many lives you have affected.
And being consistent. Well, what's amazing is when you have a chance to go back and see a few players that you coach and you're like, God, I forget the year I coached you. In other words, we work together. It happens all the time. When I flew here last week, there was a player that I had signed from Oregon that was sitting in the plane seat next to me. He said, yeah, you cut me. And I said, well, I'm sorry I did that. I was cut myself four times. But we just chatted on the flight in, and he was an offensive lineman out of Oregon. And, there's thousands after a while.
Yeah. All right, Sean Payton, this is such a joy for us. I just love this stuff. Now, are you going back up to where? Or are you going back to MB?
Back to Pacific Northwest for
undisclosed location.
Yep, for another week or so, and then pretty soon it'll be settled down out here in California.
By the way, the minute the show ended last week, I went home and said, honey, I want you to look up something on the internet. We were sitting there for hours.
At the airport, there's a huge billboard about Eastern Washington. Is that your alma mater?
Yes,
Eastern Washington.
Eastern Washington University.
Yeah.
Me and Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, right? Not Cooper Rush.
Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp.
Anyway, I thought of you. So, no, it's a great area. And
great golf, lakes everywhere.
Yeah, good temperature right
dry,
now.
Dry, arid temperatures. It's a great place to live.
Yeah.
Great seeing you, Coach.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dekovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dekovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dekovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dekovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dekovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.